following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Okay, JCPenney knows you don't like ads for clothes. So just for listening to this one for Van Heusen, we'll have the beautiful Irina here read the washing label on my shirt.
Gentle wash warm, wash with similar colors, tumble dry low.
The preceding instructions were brought to you by JCPenney, where you'll find iconic brands like Van Heusen. Right now, buy a dress shirt, get one free, plus studio zip polos and sports shirts, each just $24.99.
JCPenney, everybody wins.
Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offers end December 3rd.
I think we can all agree that your ears are pretty happy right now because they're listening to me, Ryan Russillo, talk about sports. But your eyes are depressed. Why? Because they're not watching sports. Even sadder, they're not watching sports on a full high-definition 3D TV from Sony, the leader in 3D technology. Make them happy. Watch the game in Sony 3D and experience sports like you never have before. Call 877-877-SONY to learn more.
11 o'clock, time to get up.
Unbelievable!
It is 11 o'clock, and that means it's time for the Doug and Danny Show with sports director Doug Duda.
There's a ray of sunshine in a gloomy, cloudy day.
What?
What's your name?
7:30, nails, eight nails, it doesn't matter. And Big Daddy, Tony Davis.
If a monkey flies out of my butt in any minute, too.
Oh, that's right, it's a freaking Super Bowl! Oh, I can't believe it ended like that!
Doug and Daddy bring you some of the best interviews in Central Nebraska. Here is one of the happy interviewees.
I am very honored to be on with two such esteemed journalists. This is a treat for me. I do appreciate the chance to talk to a lot of my good friends in the Tri-Cities area, notwithstanding the two of you who are jerks.
Let's head to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And it's a Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show. No Husker game. I don't know. Football open, no football open. There's football to talk about. We're jam-packed. Coming up, Sean Callahan's going to join us, so we're going to get right into that because Carl Pelini looks like he's no longer with Nebraska. I think Howard Schnellenberger finally did Tom Osborne his favor.
Is that what you think?
I'm on the conspiracy theory bandwagon with this one. We'll talk with Sean Callahan of Huskers Online in just a moment. Also, Michelle Volpel of ESPN.com scheduled to join us in our next segment. There's already been some upsets in the NCAA volleyball tournament, just not in Lincoln last night. Mike Perenio, director of the Raisin Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay. Also, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, usually with us on Thursday. They had storms out there yesterday, knocked all his power out, bad cell reception, so we moved him to today. We hope to have him on our last segment. So if you still have fantasy football questions for Jeff, you can email it to us. If you have questions for any of our guests, email it to us here at the Dent Popper inbox, or you can send it to the Facebook page as well. So all you have to do, ESPNSuperstation.com, our website, or you can fire it on into our Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug, you mentioned we're going to get to it right away. Sean Callahan joins us. There are some sticking points. It's not officially a done deal, according to Sean. Sean, the latest. Welcome back.
Hey, guys. Good to be on. Yeah, obviously, everyone who's got a pulse in the state is well aware that there's stories of Carl Pelini in Florida Atlantic, and all signs point to him being the head coach there. But still not a done deal. I know there's some sticking points in terms of just the financial package of things. Particularly with the assistant coaching salary pool. Right now, Florida Atlantic has the lowest paid assistant coaches in the Sun Belt Conference and arguably the country. I mean, they've got low-end assistant coaches making $35,000, $40,000 a year on that staff. And if you're going to be a championship or a team that's going to compete to win in your conference there, Carl Pelini, I think, realizes you've got to have more money than that to work with. The coordinators, I believe, make around $105,000 there, but I think a big part of things right now is trying to get that assistant coach money a little bit higher. And I know that had been a problem with Florida Atlantic in this process when they've talked to other guys. Florida State's offensive coordinator supposedly interviewed there Wednesday. And I think a big issue had been that money for the assistants, because everybody knows without good assistants you can't win. And if you can only pay a guy $40,000 or $50,000 at that level, it's going to be hard to compete. And if you have a good one, it's going to be hard to keep them. And I think that will be something that has to get worked out. And I know as of last night, nothing had been officially settled or decided. And the big thing you need to know is Howard Schnellenberger will coach his final game on Saturday. And that's really what it's all about right now. They want to give Schnellenberger his proper due and his respect. And an official announcement of any form probably won't be made until Sunday or Monday.
Sean Callahan joins us here. Well, Carl Pelini is used to mediocrity. He should be okay at Florida Atlantic. So, you know, had to get that out. You look at all the reports I've been looking over, Pelini is scheduled to make $395,000 here at Nebraska. Schnellenberger made $407,000 as the head coach last year at Florida Atlantic. So obviously it's not going to be all about the money, but how do you address, Sean, I've got to go there. How do you address the rumors that we've been hearing for a long time that Carl Pelini was going to be shown the door or needed to find another job? And is this necessity, or is this actually Carl Pelini wanting to be a head coach at a team that's 1-10?
I could tell you directly from his mouth that he was not ever being forced out. In fact, he was on the road this week recruiting and was selling Nebraska as hard as he's ever sold Nebraska to recruits as late as yesterday. And I could tell you that this Florida Atlantic job has nothing to do with that. He said in so many words to me that he's not being forced out of Nebraska. He loves Nebraska, but if he got an opportunity to be a head coach, he's going to take it. I mean, I think all along he wanted to get a head coaching job this year regardless of things. But I know there's message board speculation and chain emails about things that happen, and people can believe what they want, but I tend to believe the person themselves involved over internet and speculation of people that aren't involved. And when a guy tells me that that's the truth, that he wants to go on his own and it has nothing to do with any of these rumors you hear, I'm going to believe the person involved.
Well, it's an interesting, obviously, because would it be, from being a defensive coordinator at a Big Ten school, in your mind, Sean, I guess a head coach is a step up? Is this a lateral move? How do you see the move?
Well, I don't think it's a lateral move because of the opportunity. I mean, you've got such a great recruiting base there in South Florida that you're going to get players there just by default, I think, alone. And it's the next step. I think Carl Pelini will get a much higher payment package than Schnellenberger as well. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Carl was making closer to $600,000 if he took this job, or $550,000, because it's going to have to be more money than $400,000 what he's making right now. But for him to make that next step in his career, I'd even heard speculation that, you know, he could look at some other coordinator jobs, because the thing is, he's not really the coordinator. Obviously, he's the title, but Bo Pelini, no matter what, will always kind of have his finger on the defense and the calls of the game. And I think for Carl to take that next step, he's got to get out of Bo's shadow and prove that he can do that. And this is an opportunity for him to do something like that, where he'd have total control of making those defensive calls.
Sean Callahan of Huskers Online joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about Carl Pelini most likely headed to Florida Atlantic. So if he does go, there's already, you know, the speculation. Sip's got it on his blog. Who would he take with him, and who does he bring in? Who does Nebraska look at as a defensive coordinator? Mark Stoops is who Sip says would be somebody that would be interesting to look at.
Yeah, you mean Mike Stoops?
Mike Stoops, excuse me. Yeah,
I'm sorry, yeah. Mark Stoops is at Florida State, but Mike Stoops, I think would be, if Bo did want to hand off the defense and have somebody have kind of total control, I think he would trust, obviously Mike Stoops would be one of the few guys that he would trust, you know, to give him total control of his baby, so to speak. But can Nebraska pay Mike Stoops? I mean, that's the question. I mean, a guy like that's going to require, he'll be the highest paid coordinator in the Big Ten, and that's just not the MO of Nebraska to pay guys that kind of money. $600,000 or whatever it would take to get a guy like that here, especially when you talk about the gender equity things of what John Cook makes or what Connie Yori makes, then you get some problems that kind of can arise when assistant coaches on football are making more than your top-tier women's sports, and it can be a sticky issue, and Nebraska's never paid their coaches that kind of money, so I don't know if they could afford that. I wouldn't be surprised if John Papuchis is elevated into a co-coordinator type role, or even the coordinator job. I think he's the guy within the staff. He's the only guy.
Hold on. Are you serious that there's somebody on this current staff that could be the defensive coordinator?
Well, Bo Pelini is a defensive coordinator, guys. But, yeah, John Papuchis would be the guy. And I've talked to several people involved before any of this Carl Pelini thing that happened, that if Carl ever did go, JP would be a guy that could get a hard look for the coordinator. Remember, guys, when Bo Pelini made offensive hires on his staff this past year, he went way out of the box. He hired Rich Fisher. He hired John Garrison. He promoted Tim Beck. He promoted Ron Brown to running backs coach. He brought in Corey Raymond. That was and Ross Ells. I mean, if one thing we know about Bo Pelini in hiring coaches, he's not going to go out and just hire the guys with the sexiest names and resumes. He's going to hire the guys that fit things best. And if he feels JP is the best fit for that job, he'll give JP that job. And no matter what skeptics or talk show radio hosts are going to say about it, he'll go with who he thinks. And JP, guys, I'll tell you right now, he will be a head coach someday. He's a guy that is a rising star in this profession. He could have went to Florida with Will Muschamp this offseason. He had an opportunity, if he wanted to go to Texas with Mack Brown. John Papuchis is a guy that is on the fast track in this business, and he's been loyal to stay at Nebraska, where he could have left last year to a couple of pretty good jobs if he wanted to.
Sean, we go to the email here, and this is kind of interesting. It just kind of comes at you from left field, but John chimes in and says, this might be a little far-fetched. I'd say bring Mike Eckler back if Carl has gone to FAU. I think the Blackshirts are maybe missing his emotion and energy on the sidelines this season. We know Bo runs the defense anyway. He's already used to Bo's system, Bo screaming at him on the sidelines, so it'd be a smooth transition.
You want me to take this one?
He was entertaining when you guys had him on the radio show. Thanks, John.
You want me to take this one? They don't get along. They don't get along.
Yeah, I think that marriage kind of ran its course. I mean, there's just no way Mike Eckler would come back in that role.
Yeah, that's a couple other questions off topic off of this. Just a couple of Big 12 things. Have you got anything on Turner Gill? What's next for him? And I chuckle. Mike Sherman, as I predicted, would not be a successful coach at Texas A&M. I'll go back to the tape, Tony. You never give me any credit. Tony always gives me faces. Anyway, I'm talking to Sean. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Sean.
Well, Ron Brown at the Big Red Breakfast this morning was talking about Turner Gill and just how tough of a job he walked into. And, you know, some of the things that he was able to do at Kansas necessarily maybe didn't reflect in the win-loss column in terms of just restoring character and building pride back up within the players in that locker room in a different kind of way. And it's unfortunate to see him only get 2 years because that's really not enough time. I don't care who you are. That's not enough time for a guy. And Ron Brown said he doesn't know what's next for Turner, but was optimistic that he will find something good. And, you know, the good thing is he's going to get $6 million here. So it's not like money's a problem for Turner Gill right now. He's going to make $6 million from being fired. But as for Mike Sherman, I was a little surprised, to be honest, because they were so close this year. You go back and look at their losses. They had Oklahoma State beat. They had Texas beat. They had Arkansas beat. They had Kansas State beat. I mean, every game this year, they were right there. They could easily be an 8-4, 9-3, 10-2 team right now. And even this game against Texas, I think if they would have won that game, they don't fire Mike Sherman. And, you know, I feel for guys like Zach Taylor, who's a coach under Mike Sherman, and he's married to his daughter. I feel for Tim Cassidy. And I know Austin Cassidy was tweeting last night how hard of a night that was for him, that his dad lost his job. I mean, it's been a really tough deal. And, there's some guys from Nebraska on that staff, Dave Kennedy, Randy Jordan. So you never want to see things. And I speculate, just from talking to some people I know at A&M, that Bill Byrne may not have made this decision. It was probably made by other people above Bill Byrne. And who knows what the future of Bill Byrne is. They might be forcing his retirement here, and who knows what will happen at A&M. Because usually Bill Byrne, I don't think, would have fired Mike Sherman like that. They're still going to go to a bowl game, and they're pretty close. But it's unfortunate that you see some guys that you know lose their jobs.
Cleaning house before you go into the SEC. Interesting, interesting move. You can find out a whole lot more with Sean on his blog about the Big Red Breakfast, although Ron Brown made a couple very interesting comments. One about this season, I thought, where he thought maybe the whole season would have went down in flames had that Ohio State game not turned around. But also an interesting quote here from what Tom Osborne told him the last time they were in the Citrus Bowl, which is now the Capital One Bowl. Can you share that story, Sean, before you go?
Yeah, you know, I've heard this one other time, but basically in 1991, Nebraska was kind of in a, as you would say right now, they were stuck in neutral. They just couldn't make that next step. They lost 7 straight bowl games. And kind of like now, people were pretty frustrated about just kind of not taking that championship next step. And Tom Osborne told his coaches before the 91 Citrus Bowl loss to Georgia Tech, hey, guys, if you get another job or an opportunity, you might want to take it because we might all be out of here. And, you know, people think it's bad right now, but, you know, Nebraska fans were the same back in 91, too. There just wasn't Twitter and there just wasn't the Red Sea Scrolls to go on and talk about it every day. So I think, you know, everything that, you know, what bothers Bo Pelini about this job and just this, the fishbowl environment of it, I think it was the same in 91. There just weren't as many outlets to express those opinions. And, you know, that, and Osborne, I think, feels the same frustrations, obviously, that Bo can feel at times.
But Sean, in defense of that, it's the same at Michigan. It's the same at Florida State. I mean, that's just social media and what it's done to this deal. It's not just at Nebraska.
No. Well, the difference with Nebraska is it has the smallest in-state recruiting ground of any of the BCS powers at all. I mean, any of the BCS teams, period. And so from a recruiting disadvantage, Nebraska is at a major disadvantage, not being able to have the local talent that every other team in the BCS for the most part has. And, you know, and then the expectations are so high here that if you don't win a conference championship or go to a conference championship game, it's considered a failure. And that's hard. You know, that makes this job difficult, but that's why the guys make $3 million a year to coach here, and they've sold out 300-plus games because people care about football here and they demand a winner.
Sean, we got to run Wisconsin or Michigan State tomorrow.
I got the Badgers, and I'll say this right now. I wish Wisconsin was still undefeated because I would have liked to have seen Wisconsin play LSU. I think that would have been the most entertaining game to see Wisconsin's power against an SEC defense. I thought I'm just disappointed we won't get a chance to see them play against one of those SEC powers in a bowl game.
Hey, thanks for the info as always, Sean. You're the best, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
From Husker Online, and again, go on, read that blog. It's talking about recruiting Amir Abdullah in that Alabama tornado, getting stuck. Just Rex Burkhead having to be convinced by the offensive line to take that 38th snap in the final game. I mean, there's just some cool stuff on there. Go to Huskers Online and check it out. Carl Pelini apparently headed to Florida Atlantic.
It's a win-win, isn't it? From everything that's been going on, from all the rumors out there about personal lives, whatever, we don't bring that up a lot. We don't talk about that. But it's not a secret, really, in the state of Nebraska, I don't think.
From a football standpoint, it just depends who they replace him with. Because right now, I would hedge towards a loss. I would like to have Carl Pelini on board helping run the defense. I mean, I don't know who they'll get. We'll find out. I don't need another first-year coordinator. I got that already. You got to have some stability. And I know that's in part in building a program and needing to get some guys in next year because, again, with the fear of what happened, how the defense wasn't as good this year as they thought, right now everybody's going to say they're going to be worse next year. That's got to be scary unless they get some kids in. Trent says, with Carl leaving, does Bo take the defense over or do we bring in someone from the outside? That's just, I guess, again, as Sean said, Bo's going to be on top of most of that anyway.
You know, it's different, I think, because I think if you talk to coaches that have been, if you talk to Bob Crocker, that's been a defensive coordinator, been at Kansas, been at James Madison, been jumping around, moving up and moving down, and whatever you want to say about Bob Crocker, but very successful at the place he's been. You build relationships. Bo Pelini's personality, though, I'm not sure builds a whole bunch of relationships that extend and extend and extend. He's got an inner circle of guys that he trusts. To get into that inner circle is almost like the mob at times, it seems like. You don't just all of a sudden call up. I mean, I think Nick Saban. There's a lot of people Nick Saban knows, and a lot of phone calls Nick Saban can make. I don't think the list is that long for Bo Pelini, just because of his personality. That's not a knock on Bo Pelini. That's Bo Pelini's personality. I can't change that. Bo Pelini can't change it. I think he would have tried in 4 years to like to do press conferences if you could change it. He can't change it.
We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. A ton to get to. Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay. Michelle Vopel scheduled to join us next here on the Doug and Daddy Show with a quick little talk about the NCAA volleyball tournament. Fantasy football with Jeff Erickson. Pigskin Pick'em. We'll be back.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. A lot of fans will tell you there's nothing more exciting than live hockey. Others claim college basketball's where it's at. Me? You already know what I think. And you probably already know what a lot of hockey and basketball fans know. StubHub is the best place for scoring the seats you want to any game. Whether you're center ice or mid-court. Not hip to StubHub yet? Well, consider this your invitation to the party. Head to StubHub today and grab the seats you want to the games you want to see.
StubHub! For physical rehab, many times therapeutic pool exercises are prescribed. But here's the problem. You have to get wet. With the new anti-gravity therapy treadmill at Family Physical Therapy, you can still get the low-impact benefit of a pool, but you stay dry, and your therapist can closely watch your progress, and you can't fall. Used by Walter Reed Hospital and the U.S. Olympic team, the Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill is something you need to talk to your doctor or therapist about. Or call Family Physical Therapy for a free demonstration. Log on to alterg.com. To see a video.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Assignment, win way more than you lose to boost into the playoffs by season's end. The Tri-City Storm, back on the road again. Two, in Fargo, against the Force, might help as a place to start. Then, it's Omaha and the Lancers, a tough bite to chew on. Hear the Storm at Fargo, Friday at 7:15 and Saturday at 6:45. Then, the Big O on Tuesday at 6:45. All three on the Breeze, 94.5 FM.
Today we'll see increasing clouds as south winds become breezy and a high of 39. Then tonight we're going to be seeing a chance of some freezing rain mix in with sleet and snow develop, with the dusting of accumulation possible in 25. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 28.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where we take care of all our guests with our friends at BK, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. If you love breakfast, it's served daily until 11 a.m. Two croissant sandwiches, only $4. And of course, if you're ready for lunch in the morning, full menu is served all day. Check out Seattle's best iced coffee, a vanilla or mocha, at Burger King, two locations, Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. As we roll along on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio, we're pleased to welcome in from ESPN.com, Michelle Vopel. She's covering the NCAA volleyball tournament, and she's cruising around the country. Michelle, where are we at today?
Right now I'm actually back in Kansas City. Just landed. Was out in Tennessee for a while, and eventually be heading to San Antonio to see the Final Four.
Of course, we've had Michelle on in the past talk a little women's basketball and the Huskers. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about them in the future as well. Michelle, we already had a couple of upsets last night, so maybe that committee knows what they're doing. Ha ha. Chuckle, chuckle.
It's interesting because I think when a few upsets come, some people will say, oh, see, you know, all along, these other teams just need a chance to break through. I think upsets are going to happen if you seed the bracket properly. You know, I don't think you need to rig the bracket to have the upset. And what happens when you rig the bracket, which I feel is, you know, at least in terms of real competitive equality, is what happened this time, is you're going to be depriving kids who've worked all season of a fair chance to make it to the Final Four.
Isn't that the whole argument that what was the committee doing in your mind, Michelle? I guess that's the question. When the bracket was announced, people that know volleyball, everybody in the room, if there's 10 of them, all 10 are looking at the other one going, what in the hell are they doing?
You know, I think it's a little bit multifaceted. One problem I do think is that you have people on the committee who are not very good at, I would say, evaluating teams and then comparing them to each other. you have to actually watch the sport. You know, even if you watch it a little, I think you can do that, but really watch it with that sort of comparative eye. So when it comes to making some subjective analysis on teams, not just looking at an RPI, but really in your mind saying, okay, let's compare X team to Y team, you can do that. I think that's part of the problem. I think the other issue is the directive that both they get. I think you guys probably have seen this with softball and with women's soccer, and even sometimes with men's sports, like men's soccer. The directives they get from above are to try to regionalize these tournaments. And they do that to a degree, but there are always exceptions where people are sent across the country. So I don't know why that's that directive to do that, because I don't think it makes any sense and it's not consistent. And then the third issue, I really believe they're trying to take from the rich and give to the poor. And I don't think you can do that in a competitive tournament. If you want to have the best teams in the Final Four, you don't handicap the teams that are traditionally good and say, oh, you know, we want to have some new faces. That's not what an NCAA tournament is supposed to be about. It's supposed to give us the four best teams and then eventually the best team. And it doesn't make any sense to me at all that you have probably four really legitimate national championship contenders all in one bracket.
And that is the Honolulu bracket where Nebraska is. And here, I mean, it doesn't – we've discussed this, and Michelle Vopel from ESPN.com joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We have discussed this even at the Division II level where we have a powerful program in the University of Nebraska at Kearney who's been hosed over before, and in Division II baseball. But it doesn't take anyone with an IQ of 50 to figure out if USC has been in the top five of the coaches' poll all year – and they're currently ranked number one. How in the world could you possibly be the seventh seed in the NCAA tournament? And they are in this Honolulu region. So was California, who got bumped out last night. So is Nebraska. So is Hawaii, obviously. Hawaii averages nearly 7,000 fans at home. It's going to be an incredible place to play for the teams that make it out there to Honolulu. So I guess the question is, Michelle, who are the people that are in the room making these decisions? How do you get that gig? Because obviously you don't have to know anything.
One of my problems with the committee, and this goes across all sports, I've written for 27 years about women's basketball, and women's basketball had the same problem. It's evolved. It's better now. But the committeeships are sort of seen as plums for athletic administrators. And having that on your resume is considered a really positive thing. The problem is somebody could be a very good administrator, but a very bad evaluator of talent, and again, comparing teams. What I think is so important about being sort of angry about this, and the reason when I wrote my column I was angry, is to say people care. We know this isn't football. It's not men's basketball. But people really care. They want a fair bracket. They don't want a bracket that just goes on the cheap for the NCAA. They don't want a bracket that looks like it was put together by people who just want their name, you know, want this thing on their resume. I was on the volleyball committee. And I think anger is important here to say these kids, these fans, and the people, the coaches, the people that make this sport very legitimate, want a legitimate bracket. That's not too much to ask for from the NCAA. And it's important to say, I know bracketing is hard, but from best I can tell, looking at the bios and resumes, and I've looked over everybody's on that volleyball committee, there's five people, half of that committee, that have volleyball backgrounds and the rest don't. I'm not saying you have to have a background, but if you don't, you better make up for it by watching a lot of volleyball, contacting coaches, contact former coaches, ask people's opinions, and watch the sport so that you can really make some good subjective analysis of teams.
Well, for some, you know, when you hear all about Title IX and you hear about gender equity, my first reaction was somebody saying, well, they're just girls and no one will notice. That's almost what I thought when I saw it.
I think you're spot on. And part of it that's great about, honestly, about guys like you talking about this on your show is it shows that legitimate media, people who know sports, who understand competitive fairness and who value that. You guys don't, you know, you're saying we know enough about volleyball, we're watching it enough to know this makes no sense. That's not what the NCAA tournament's supposed to be about. And again, I think a big part of this is let's figure out how to get a better committee. I really think the committee should reach out to former retired coaches, and you guys can probably think of one of them that would be very good at this, a man who knows a whole lot about volleyball from Nebraska. But there's a lot of people who could help them get a better bracket, and isn't that the whole point, to have the best, fairest bracket for these kids? These kids have four-year careers. You know, if you're Tara Murray from Cal, okay, her career's over now. And I'm not saying, you know, they got upset and everything, but you can't help but wonder when those kids saw that bracket, if it didn't take the life out of them. They knew what they were going to be facing to even make it to the Final Four, and I don't think that's what an NCAA tournament is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about, you know, all these other agendas. It's supposed to be about giving the best teams that played the best all season long. Nebraska won the Big Ten. USC won the Pac-12. If anybody who watches volleyball, anybody would not say those are the two best conferences. How do the two conference champions from the best conference have to beat each other potentially before one of them gets to the Final Four? It makes no competitive sense.
Michelle, first of all, I want to congratulate you. No one's ever referred to us as legitimate media before, and that meant so much. I teared up when you said that, and that meant a lot. Anyway, I want to know, not ex-coaches, I want to know what's wrong with having Michelle Vopel on the committee. I want to know what's wrong with having Jay Billis on the basketball committee. What's wrong with people that's what they do for a living is evaluate talent and watch these teams daily?
You know, it's interesting you say that because I wrote from about 1999 to 2006, every year I would write this column about the women's basketball bracket, not because I like being a smart aleck or I like being mean to people. But it was the same thing over and over again. Why do we have this bad bracket? Why can't there be more expertise? Why isn't there an opening up of the process? Because the kids deserve that. Ultimately, that's the thing that drives me more than anything. The kids who have four-year careers deserve the best effort possible to their bracket. It's their tournament. And the NCAA on the women's basketball side finally responded. I said, I'll fly into Indianapolis and meet with you guys and just tell you what frustrates me, and we can talk. Nothing on the record. You can just talk to me like human beings and not worried about being quoted. I think it helped them opening the bracket. As you guys know, they've opened up now with mock on the men's and women's side. I think the sports like volleyball and men's soccer and women's soccer and softball, people care about those, and the NCAA needs to do a better job. Reach out to whoever, whether, you know, it's media people, whether it's former coaches, people who can be consultants, and somebody who can be in the room saying, okay, guys, I know that the RPI looks like this, but you know that this bracket makes no sense. So we've got to look beyond the RPI, and I do need to stress, this is not just the committee. This is the NCAA, you know, championships cabinet. And the people that are giving the committee the directives on how these brackets are done, everybody needs to be on board to say, people are paying attention. You know, it makes a difference. It makes the NCAA look bad to have a bracket like this. And if we're going to have a tournament, let's have a legitimate tournament. And let's not let this be about the egos of the people putting the bracket together. Let's let it be about having the best possible bracket for the student-athletes who worked their butts off for 4 years to get this opportunity to play.
Great info from Michelle Vopel of ESPN.com. Just a minute left. Michelle, getting to the actual playing last night, Nebraska's region did begin. Nebraska takes care of Jackson State, and now that they're not in the Big 12, obviously they're going to bring a Big 12 team in. They'll play Kansas State tonight. I don't know if you saw John Cook's quote taking a jab at the NCAA committee and Penn State. Here's what he said after the match when asked about playing a pretty good opponent in Kansas State. He goes, quote, unless you're Penn State, you're going to have to play a good team in the second round.
You really can't blame him for that. I mean, I give Penn State all the credit in the world for what they've done, and I think Russ Rose is just a fabulous coach. But last year and this year, they have gotten brackets. I mean, last year was laughable. I mean, it really was. And I think, in fact, I even said if Penn State had been making up the bracket, they wouldn't have made it as easy as it was. They would have been embarrassed to make it that easy. So I know why he's saying that. And he's probably got to feel especially ticked off because he went into Penn State's conference and he won that conference this year. And he still has a far tougher quarter than Penn State.
Michelle, in her article, her final four teams, she took Texas, Purdue, Stanford, and then Hawaii. I guess, anybody can, but it's just going to be almost impossible for anybody to go to Hawaii and come out of there, isn't it?
It's just tough. I mean, that's a tough place to go because these kids are very, very accomplished athletes, but we're talking about a way different time zone. We're talking about a huge, huge home court advantage. And obviously Nebraska knows a lot about that because they have it. But it's also who you're going to probably have to play in the semifinals just to get to the regional final. That's the other thing that's so tough about it. To have to play, and now Cal's out. So, you know, in some ways, you know, that, I don't know, that makes it a little easier, but that's what you're having to deal with. It's not just having to potentially beat Hawaii on their home court. It's having to potentially be another serious national championship contender on Hawaii's home court. That's a lot to ask for. You know, you'd love to see Nebraska somehow pull this out. I mean, that would be a great thing for those kids. By the same token, Hawaii's kids and USC's kids, in my mind, deserve to go to the Final Four, too. That's the hardest thing about this. I think there's three teams there that you'd love to see in San Antonio, and you're only going to see one of them.
Well, that's just too bad. That's the way it goes. Michelle Vopel, we thank you so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Keep up the great work. We'll keep following you, and we will stalk you and hunt you down again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle. Again, it does help because it looked like Nebraska, California in the Sweet 16. Now you're looking at probably Pepperdine, and Nebraska would be favored, and then you would get the USC-Hawaii winner in the Elite Eight. Unbelievable. When we come back, Daddy makes his selections, and Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay, plus fantasy football at the end of the show, so get your questions in. We'll be right back.
Tis the season of some assembly required. So stop into any participating Napa Auto Parts store this December for holiday savings on select tool sets, like the Crescent Brand 128-piece tool gift set, only $49.99, or the Gear Wrench 5-piece universal ratcheting wrench set, just $29.99.
Napa Know-How!
Now you can get something for everyone in the family, including your car. Offer expires 12/31/11 while supplies last.
Attention.
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 Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2011, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. Call 1-800-322-6112. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the Rosetta Stone solution is easier than ever before. For your free demo, call 1-800-322-6112. 1-800-322-6112.
I asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week. The perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyways, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now? And winning. If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Today we'll see increasing clouds as south winds become breezy and a high of 39. Then tonight we're going to be seeing a chance of some freezing rain mixed in with sleet and snow develop, with the dusting of accumulation possible in 25. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 28.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Adam says, I'm not sure what to think of Sean Callahan's take on John Papusius. That would certainly fit Bo's mo. He says the criteria to be on Bo's coaching staff is, one, you have to be from Youngstown, Ohio. Two, you have to grow up, go to school, or have lived near Bo. Three, never question Bo's decisions. Four, be a MAC-level assistant coach or Bo's summer golf coach. Huh. After some thought, I do give the early lead to Papusius after all. Here's to hoping Carl takes a few of his has-beens, never-was coaches with him because we need an upgrade several key areas. That's what Adam says from Holdridge. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for the email.
Wow.
A little harsh.
Somebody, he wants the coaching staff to grow. Maybe we should water them.
Well, I would think you would do it with TNL irrigation. Plus, they're not near as many negatives as Adam points out with TNL. Choice is simple. TNL irrigation. They can show you a pivot controls comparison. They can show you the pivot management options. But it all goes back to being in the business a long time and doing it successfully. The choice is simple. TNL irrigation, proven technology that works. We start at the top. Continuous movement to all towers. That's standard. That's what they do. You don't start and stop because things don't break then. No high voltage AC on system. You can go all the way up to remote on-off control. We're working with AgSense. They've got the GPS technology. They've got the encoders to go with it. Speed feedback from the antenna. They've got it all. As high tech as you want to get, the choice is simple. Proven technology that works, plus several different options for you to choose from. Proven technology that works. TLIRR.com, 1-800-330-4264. Call your local TNL irrigation dealer today.
All right, it's time for Daddy's NFL and college selections. Mike Perenio is on the line from Las Vegas. I figured we'd give him some entertainment because he never gets to hear your selections. We usually do them afterwards, and then you just take whatever he said. So let's hear your selections because after a red-hot start to the season, nobody even cares anymore.
Well, that's it's a downturn, but I think we're still above 500.
You started to warm up. You were hot in the pros, then you got hot in college. I say you finish with a bang and be hot in both ways this weekend.
Okay, here's what I've done. I'm going to start with the championship games tonight. I'm going to take Ohio plus the 3.5. I'm not going to give rundowns on what spread streaks and what all that. You know what? This has been working the last couple weeks. We're ahead of 500. So give me Ohio plus 3.5. Wyoming at Colorado State. I'm going to gobble up those 6 points. I'll take the underdog in that one, Colorado State. Syracuse heads to Pittsburgh. I'm getting 10.5 points. Give me those 10.5 points. Southern Miss, I know Mike Brennio cringes when he hears the name Houston because everybody at the betting window all year has said Houston, 220 Houston, 220 Houston, 165 Houston. Well, give me Southern Miss. I'll take the other side, Mike Brennio, and I'll take those 14 points. Four college games, Ohio, Colorado State, Syracuse, Southern Miss. All underdogs. We head to the NFL where I mix it up. Two favorites, barely favorites. I will take the Dolphins and Minnesota. Oakland heading across the country at Miami. And Denver, I'm just going to keep betting against Tim Tebow because I know Tim Tebow lovers are out there. And I know Mike Perenio loves that because they're getting hammered taking Denver every week in Vegas. I'll take the Dolphins and Minnesota as my two favorites. On the underdog side of things, I'll take Washington plus the 3 points. The Jets roll into town. I will take Cleveland plus the 7 as Baltimore comes into town. Give me the 4.5 points with Arizona as Dallas rolls into town. The 5 pro selection. Washington, Dallas, Miami. Excuse me. Washington, Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, and Arizona.
Wow, that's more selections than usual. I really and we go to Las Vegas, the director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Mandalay Bay, Mike Perenio, who we will give just a moment to recover as he picks himself up off the floor. Mike, what do you think of those? Good morning.
I'm thinking if I only take $220 bets, I probably wouldn't have a job anymore. But Well, you're playing all underdogs. I mean, usually that would be in our favor, but this year it's been a rough year for us this year as the favorites, especially in college football, were killing us all year long. It's getting a little bit better, but, you know, taking all those underdogs, you should be doing good. And I don't know if this is the first week you've been taking that many underdogs, but I would think you'd be way above 500 doing that. But the public and the favorites were killing us early in the year, so maybe that had an effect on you too.
When people come to the window during the year when the favorites are heavy, I mean, is it just constantly, when you're hearing 110 in Stanford, I mean, when you say 1,100 on a number, and is it constantly Stanford? Is it constantly Houston? I mean, is it? Do you wake up in the middle of the night with those numbers ingrained in your head?
Yeah, the big favorites, especially, you know, so far this year, just keep covering, and then they're parlaying it to the over. And when they score 65 on their own, it's probably going to go over. And you know, that's been our problem this year. The pros have been a little better than the college, but college, it's like Stanford in the over. You know, it's LSU in the over. It's I hear that a lot in my head at night, and it's been a good bet all year. We can't make the lines high enough or the totals high enough, and with this wonderful BCS system, if it's your grandma that's coaching the other team, you still keep rubbing it in her nose.
Mike Perenio joins us from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And the over-unders seem to be higher and higher every year. You can't just say, all right, here at the Mandalay Bay, we're going to make Baylor Texas Tech a 100-point over-under. You just can't. You just can't do that. But they still cover. I mean, what does Vegas do? I mean, I know you guys try to put your heads together. What do you do?
Well, we hope they go to a playoff system so people don't have to keep creaming each other to get BCS standings and bring, like, sportsmanship back to college football. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. There's so much money in the bowls that those guys stand alone in their own entities, and these college presidents and these guys that run the bowl games, you see lots of scandals, and those guys are kind of in their own little world, and as long as the money's coming in, they don't care what happens as far as the public and whether we get a playoff system.
Okay, forget the rest of the year. Last night was a good start for your weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good start last night. But single game days, you know, on a Thursday, it wasn't a big handle night. But that anytime we get a home underdog and everyone thinks the Eagles were a super team, and they're kind of like your theory with betting against Tim Tebow. They keep thinking the Eagles are going to cover one of these weeks, and by the time they do, you might be broke.
Mike Perenio joins us from Las Vegas. All right, the last couple of major comebacks. Green Bay, this is what we love. This time of year, want to get somebody from you. You are all over Green Bay. And I think last year was just a couple of weeks before the playoffs, but somebody always makes a move in these last 4 to 5 weeks. I say Tennessee could be somebody like that. Somebody's going to go 4-1 down the stretch, sneak into the playoffs, and knock somebody off, and then you never know. The St. Louis Cardinals, as you know, you told us on the show you really didn't want them to win the World Series because you had some long odds out on those boys. Who right now does Mike Perenio have his eye on?
Your Tennessee has some pretty good odds. I would still, you know, when I got Green Bay last year at the, you know, almost 30-1, it was the last week of the regular season when they had to beat the Bears. So you can even wait a little while for one of those games where someone maybe needs a little bit of luck to get in the playoffs, and we give you some good odds. The only one that looks good to me right now, and it's been bet down quite a bit, and they've made some moves, and they should get healthy before the playoffs, is the Raiders. They're 17-1. You know, they've got a good quarterback now who's learning the system more and more each week, knowing, getting used to the receivers and getting familiar with the team. Not that they've been playing bad, but they've got a good running game, and if they get their running back and healthy, and they can keep some of their defensive out of jail, then they'll be okay. But they look like they've got some potential, and they have a shot at 17-1, but you know, you never know until the like I said, the last week I kind of like to take a shot with someone over the last 2 weeks. But right now at 17-1, I mean, New England's 7-2 and Green Bay's, you know, 3-2. So you can't do anything with those teams, and you got to kind of keep your eyes open and hope for something to pop up there. I think the Raiders right now are pretty, not a bad value at 17-1.
Mike, what does the Houston Texans team do before they lose their two quarterbacks, and what are their odds now?
Well, they were 35-1 when we opened them up. They're still at 10-1, which is no value at all.
Right.
I mean, they still have a very good defense, and you know, maybe they can make a run at it and do well in the playoffs. But 10-1 doesn't seem too reasonable, and we, you know, unless we get some action to warrant us raising it, there's no, you know, reason for us to raise it, really.
Mike Perenio, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the beautiful Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Daddy stayed away from the three major conference championship games on his selections, and all of them are more than a touchdown. Does that make interest in those games, ACC, SEC, and Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, first of all, Wisconsin's like 9.5 now, and that seems a little high, but, you know, you can't go wrong this time of year with underdogs. The only thing that scares you is the BCS stuff, and the Oklahoma State game, that's a pretty decent line. That looks like an interesting game for this weekend, and I'm kind of surprised it's only 3.5 because I'm sure people will continue to bet Oklahoma State like they have all year to crush us. But the interesting thing to me is that you know, Alabama can sit by and watch these games and play in the BCS you know, championship game, and that just shows that there's something wrong with the system. Teams that don't have to play even this week you know, basically get a free ride into the championship game.
Well, I'm gonna start your nightmare early, Mike, because I'm gonna wager one beer against five beers back of me in a three-team parlay. Give me LSU, Virginia Tech, and Wisconsin. How about that?
That's all the
I can get free beers. So. I have nothing to lose on that. I'll just next time you're out here, I'll pay you off gladly on that.
Hey, Mike, the NBA is gonna play. Talk about how much that's gonna help you guys out.
You know what? It really helps once March Madness is over, because then, you know, the playoffs in the NBA, of course, last, 6 months or 2 months. But that's the only thing going once March comes out, you know, other than the big Kentucky Derby and baseball. You know, we have a little bit of handle in the beginning of the hockey season. So it's just not that big. But, you know, with especially that time of year, it's big for us. And so it's kind of nice they're coming back. But it's tough to know what the teams are going to look like yet till they get this all completely settled. And looks like everybody wants to play for the Knicks this year. So if everything goes the way they think, Knicks might actually end up with a pretty decent team if everybody gets their wishes.
You bring up the Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup now being behind us. Did you cash any monster tickets?
I had a good Friday with the Phillies. Of course, you know, that's kind of my reputation, being good with the Phillies.
But, Hello!
The Saturday wasn't the best for me, but, you know, it's always fun. We had a record crowd and record handle here in the Breeders' Cup after a very good one last year. So it was a good time for us, and we look forward to it every year. It's unbelievable. It's better than being at the Breeders' Cup to be here at Mandalay Bay and playing the ponies here.
Does anyone ever hit a pick six or something that's just monstrous there?
You know, we've had a few big ones, big superfectas, you know, in the $40,000, $50,000 range on the Derby and the Breeders' Cup. And we had a good customer of ours come in last year's Breeders' Cup and just needed Zenyatta to hit the pick six for six figures.
Oh.
And, of course, the horse that won 19 in a row lost by about a half an inch and made him a sad man. But those pick sixes are tough, but, boy, they pay good. Everything pays good on the Breeders' Cup because of the big pools.
You hit the five, and you bring it. Mike, what's going on? We head into Christmas holidays. People like to travel to Vegas, and unbelievably, we're 2 months away from the Super Bowl. No better time than being at the Mandalay for the Super Bowl. What else is going on?
You know what? December's turned into a huge month in Vegas. It's didn't used to be that way back in the old days, but especially here at Mandalay Bay, we've got Michael Jackson the Immortal. We're looking at a Cirque show coming to Vegas with Michael Jackson, adding to the prestige and the great shows that Cirque du Soleil puts out. And he's going to have a show, well, not him, but they're going to have a show here all month of December, and the grand the opening show is tomorrow, and with the press and the red carpet and the celebrities and the event center. It's a big deal here for us. Opening night's the 3rd. There's a fan fest coming out here, red carpet, and it's like a Hollywood event here, and it's a big deal with this Michael Jackson Immortal tour, and it's bringing lots of business, especially international business, to us. And there's always something going on. We even got the marathon this weekend, so it's like one of our busiest weekends of the year, you know, and it's the first weekend in December. So things change in Vegas, and that's one of them. December used to be a slow month out here, and now it's at least this year, it's the biggest month of the year.
All right, Mike, we'll let you out of here with this. You heard Daddy's selection, so the listeners always love hearing a couple of Mike Perennio selections, and I've already looked at your standings in the pick five, so I don't know how much we should stock into that this year, but you got a couple hot ones for us this year.
You know what? I'm leaning. You can probably tell what I said with the Wisconsin game. That seems like a big line to me. I like Michigan State. You know that should be the inaugural championship game. I think they'll keep that tough. I also love, unfortunately, love the Vikings to beat Tim Tebow. So I'm on that bandwagon this week too. And Minnesota definitely at home. I like laying the 1 point.
Perfect, Mike. We appreciate you joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'd love to send people your way. I hope a couple come out and mention that we've sent them that way. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, they always do, and I appreciate being on the show and all the fans of your show out there. They always mention you guys when they're out here, so thanks a lot.
Hey, Mike, take care. Have a great weekend. And, folks, if you're going to Vegas, check it out on the website, MandalayBay.com. Mike's picture profile up there. Check it out when you go out.
You can email him. Email him right directly.
Yeah, say, hey, we're coming out. What's going on? He's going to take care of the Nebraska folks. Always has, always will. Throw out the Doug and Daddy card. Actually helps you in this instance. Hey, here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth, we want to let you know that hassle-free pricing is available every day on all of their vehicles at both of the lots, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Come on the lot. They'll help you find the vehicle that meets your needs and your budget, because you know what the price is right from the get-go. It's there on the window of every one of their vehicles on both lots to keep it simple, hassle-free, stress-free at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Midway is there for you. Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Chevy Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue. Go online, check out everything else. Friend them on Facebook. They take care of you. They try so many different ways just to take care of you, the customer. And all you have to do is go to thinkmidway.com. When we come back, we got to talk a little fantasy football. Plus, we got to do Pigskin Pick'em, Daddy. We better do Pigskin Pick'em. How are we going to do that? You got an idea? You got a question? You got something up? Yeah, I figured. Why? We'll take a break. Merritt's got it figured out. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. This time of the year between the holidays, bad weather, and sick days, you can spend a lot of time away from the office. But business doesn't stop, never has. That's why I love GoToMyPC by Citrix. It gives you the freedom and flexibility to work from anywhere, whether you're snowed in, visiting family and friends, or let's say you're homesick. With GoToMyPC, you can access your entire office computer wherever you are, from any Mac or PC, and now your iPad. GoToMyPC literally turns your iPad, my iPad, into our work computers. It's the missing link. It's so easy to get started. It sets up in just minutes. Weeks ago, I introduced this to my wife. She loved it. Access her computer from anywhere, anytime. Try GoToMyPC free today. There's a special 45-day free trial just for my listeners. iPad users, download the free GoToMyPC app from the App Store. Then visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code Colin. This time of the year, between holidays, bad weather, and sick days, you can be away from the office. But with GoToMyPC, you're never really away from the office.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
Here's my credit card, all my cash, deed to my house, oldest child's birth certificate, TV.
Nobody likes surprise repair shop charges. That's why you should trust the certified technicians at AutoTech Specialists of Kearney. When Aaron, Scott, and Todd put their heads together, there's almost half a century of experience to solve most problems. And every vehicle receives a free safety inspection. Most repairs are warranted for 12 months or 12,000 miles. Surprise? Now you can take your vehicle to AutoTech Specialists at 25th and I for no surprises.
Can I just pardon my manners? Girl, how you shake it, gotta play a life. It's a Kodak moment, let me go and get my camera. All I wanna know is, sexy, can I take it to the front? Then we take it to the back, know you like it like that. Then we take it to the bed, then we take it to the floor. Then we chill for a second, then we look at it some more. Sexy, can I just pardon my manners?
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you on the program with us today as we get ready for the weekend and get ready for what's going on with Christmas time. Woo! Want to eat well.
Troutman's Quality Meats, they're waiting for you. Carrie's behind the counter. There's always somebody behind that counter to cut the meat as you see fit. Maybe you want your ribeyes thicker? No problem. Carrie will do it. He'll vacuum pack them. He'll seal them up for you individually if that's what you want. As many of you want together, if that's what you want. You want to ship some steaks to somebody in a faraway distant land? Well, Carrie can do that, put it all together for you, have it ready to go. That's what they do. Troutman's Quality Meats, a smiling face waiting for you right there. All the seasonings, all the sauces. Gift cards as well, gift boxes, stocking stuffers. They got Nebraska wine. Pre-order your hams, your prime rib, your smoked turkeys. They've got them. Troutman's Quality Meats. Plus, they've got a great selection of seafood as well. Try Troutman's today. T-Bone's waiting for you out front. Troutman's Quality Meats, we tell you about it all the time. It's just different. You can taste the difference.
We need to get somebody on the Doug and Daddy Show to do a little pigskin pick'em. What? 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Your trivia question is what, Daddy?
On week 11 of the NFL season, that day in history snapped a 149-week streak of at least one former Miami Hurricane player scoring a touchdown. That streak lasted. That streak lasted. It began week 15 of the 02 season and ended in week 10 of 011. Which Hurricane scored the most touchdowns? Which Miami Hurricane player scored the most touchdowns?
Rushing.
Just touchdowns. Rushing, receiving.
What former Miami Hurricane scored the most touchdowns between 2002 and 2011?
Yep, during that streak. Happened to do it in 46 games during that streak.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Gotcha. This is the last chance, folks. Last chance to get in Big Daddy's Pigskin Pick'em to the winner. If you haven't went up against us, this is your chance to do so. Big Daddy's Pigskin Pick'em, folks. Giving you a chance to be on the program. And the winner gets a large combo meal to Big Daddy's Deli, two locations in Hastings, also Top of the Hill in Kearney. You also get a Doug and Daddy t-shirt and... last chance to get in for the championship, our bowl bonanza, where someone will win a grand prize from Misco Sports in Kearney.
What did you go with the last time, Big Daddy's Deli? Last time you were there. I've been going to this wrap thing, a 21 wrap.
I think it was a 48. You get some pastrami and some turkey, and I put it on the Asiago.
Nice.
So I like that. Get some mustard on it, oil and vinegar. Get some good toppings, pickles, tomatoes. It's all good. We do have a winner. He knew. Mitch from Kearney. He knew it was Clinton Portis, the Miami Hurricane, that scored the most touchdowns.
70 touchdowns. 70 touchdowns in 46 games.
He scored 70 touchdowns. He must have had a hell of 1 year.
Scored 31 touchdowns in his first two seasons.
All right, let's get to the picks. I don't want to hear what you've got to say, Daddy. I mean, anyway, let's get to it. Here we go tonight. The MAC Championship. Noah Keller, Frank Solich, and the Ohio Bobcats taking on Northern Illinois. Who you got, Mitch?
Oh, I'll go Ohio.
Daddy?
Give me Noah Keller.
Yeah, see, Northern Illinois is favored, though. Northern Illinois is favored.
That's fine. Take them.
No, I'm going to take Ohio. And then up next, we're going to go against a couple of games here, because there aren't a bunch, but a couple of games against Nebraska opponents from this year. Fresno State is at San Diego State, and Fresno is a 6-point, 7-point underdog in this game. Who you got, Daddy?
I'm going to take the Aztec at home because Tony Gwynn's a great coach.
What do you think, Mitch?
I'm going to go San Diego State, too.
Mitch, I have no idea. Tony Gwynn, does he
I'll
coach the football
San Diego
team?
State as well. Wyoming at Colorado State. Now, you took Colorado State in your picks. I'm going to take Wyoming to win the football game. Who are you going to take?
I'm going to take the Rams at home.
What do you like here?
I'm taking Wyoming.
Let's go to the Big 12, because they don't have 12 teams and they don't have a championship game, so they can play on Saturday. Iowa State at Kansas State. Who do you like, Mitch?
K-State.
Daddy?
I as well. Much closer, though, than the experts expect.
K-State's at home. They'll win at home. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. It's Bedlam. I'll take Oklahoma State. Daddy?
You know
Oklahoma
what?
Oklahoma State's favored.
Oklahoma State's favored at home. It should be crazy. Yes, give me the Cowboys as well.
Mitch, who do you like here?
I'm going Cowboys, too.
Looks like we're staying fairly unanimous. Texas at Baylor. Robert Griffin against Mac Brown? Daddy, who you got?
Colt's brother, I think. I'm going to take Baylor. Give me the third. Give me the third.
Mitch, who you like here?
I'm going to third for Heisman.
Good Lord. See, I thought maybe one of you guys would take Texas. I'm trying to stay a little positive here. I'm taking Baylor. Now let's get into the conference championship games on Saturday. Up first, Conference USA, Southern Miss at Houston. I will take Houston. Daddy, you took Southern Miss to cover. Will you pick him to win it?
No, nah, that's too many points. They're a better team.
Mitch?
Houston.
Virginia Tech and Clemson in the ACC. Teams that appear to be heading the wrong way. Who do you like, Mitch?
I'll go Clemson.
I don't mean wrong way. I mean opposite way. He's going to take Clemson to win the ball game, Daddy.
I just think Dabo's got a cooler name than Frank. I'll take Dabo.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech in this football game because Clemson is heading the wrong way. I thought maybe they'd put up more of a fight here. Let's go to Georgia, LSU for the SEC championship. I have no problem stepping up and taking LSU in this game. I like Georgia, who lost to Boise State at the beginning of the year, but I'll take LSU.
I'm going to take LSU. They're the best team in the country.
Mitch, who you like?
Same, LSU.
And the Big Ten championship game, Michigan State versus Wisconsin. Daddy, we all know who you like.
Yeah, give me Wisconsin in a close one. Not.
Mitch?
Yeah, Wisconsin big.
You know, I've thought two ways on this. Nobody's giving Michigan State a chance, and Michigan State lost in the bowl game to Alabama last year, 49-7. Which Michigan State team shows up? I believe Wisconsin is deflated. They want to go to the Rose Bowl. I believe Kirk Cousins, Tim Tebow's it somehow, and I will take Michigan State to win the Big Ten championship. And you know why? They're out of the tougher division.
That's an excellent. Okay, I appreciate that. But we're having trouble on the year just picking winners. I never have input on this sheet. Mitch, I'm adding one more game. UCLA, Oregon tonight. I'm adding that game. Who do you like?
Oregon by 70.
Okay, we're going to add that game. I will take Oregon as well because I need an extra winner for our total.
I'll take Oregon, and that's also the tiebreaker game. How many points do you think will be scored in this game? Daddy and I have our two totals written down. The Las Vegas folks say that the over-under on this game is 66, and we'll give you a chance to pick first, Mitch. We've got ours down. Total points in the UCLA-Oregon Pac-12 championship tonight.
Golly. I'll say 60.
60. That's right in between, Daddy.
I got 65.
I went 57 because last time UCLA got beat by USA 50-0, I think it'll be 50-7 tonight as Oregon lets them score. Mitch, congratulations. Already a winner from Big Daddy's Deli. We'll see if you get into the finals. We appreciate you listening. Take care.
Thank you.
There you go. Doug and Daddy's picks for, thank God, we're done until the bowl season.
Hey, Douglas. By the way, I just that trivia question, you go back. Second on that list with 68 touchdowns, Reggie Wayne. Third, Willis McGahee. Fourth, Santana Moss. Right behind him, Andre Johnson, who obviously doesn't have the years that Santana Moss and those guys have. Edgerrin James, Frank Gore, Jeremy Shockey, Devin Hester, Greg Olson. Those are the top 10 pretty good names on that list.
Stan says, hey, guys, a question a little off topic today. If Turner Gill would somehow end up on Nebraska's coaching staff as quarterback's coach, do you think he could make Taylor a good passing quarterback? No, not any better than he is now. Not a lot better. He's going to continue to improve because he's going to mature and get more time in the system. But and that's not going to happen anyway. I mean, something weird would have to happen for Turner to come back. That would just be weird all the way around, don't you think?
I would think it'd be totally weird for Turner even. I don't know why everybody seems to be so concerned with. He's got $6 million.
Well, Jeff Erickson still stormed out. Folks, we apologize for not being able to do the fantasy football this week. We're going to leave it up. There's nothing we can do. Like it says on the ticket, natural disasters. Can't do anything about it, folks. So we'll try Jeff next week. We wish you the best of luck as you head into your maybe final week of the fantasy football season. We could answer a lot of the questions, but I don't think you guys would take those to heart because most of them I just laugh at.
We're maniacs anyway. Appreciate you joining us. Had some great guests this week. We'll look forward to a Nebraska bowl game on Monday, along with Carl Pellini News. Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald is set to join us on Monday.
We want the Capital One. You want Michigan to go to the BCS, folks. That's the two things you got to work on. Plus, more on Carl Pellini. Could be the head coach of Florida Atlantic by Monday. We thank Sean Callahan from Huskers Online joining us to talk about that. Michelle Volpel from ESPN.com. Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Have a great weekend, everyone. Best of luck to the high school athletes out there. Kearney High Wrestling invite tomorrow. Plenty of basketball on our airwaves. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com to keep up to date.
Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you Monday. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.